Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. State Senate Republicans advanced a new state budget proposal this past week, and as has been the case for over a decade, the legislation would assure that core public services and structures remain starved for resources. Indeed, as North Carolina Budget and Tax Center policy analyst Susie Cacciatorian documented in a midweek post for NC Policy Watch, the bill spends more than $7 billion less than what it would if it merely matched the state's 45-year average. What's more, this isn't due to any kind of revenue shortfall. Thanks to federal aid and soaring incomes of the wealthy, the state has plenty of funds available to address unmet needs. The problem, as I learned from Cacciatorian when I caught up with her earlier this week, is that GOP leaders are prioritizing tax cuts over the state's basic needs.
Well, Susie Cacciatorian, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We're down to the really busy time at the North Carolina General Assembly. The end of the fiscal year is just days away. And finally, at long last, we're getting seriously into the budget process over there. And I want to go into that, but I think it'll be useful for our listeners to hear a little bit about the background of how we got to where we are right now with the North Carolina state budget. 16 months ago, the pandemic was hitting us and we really saw the economy crashing and we thought the budget's really going to go in the tank. We're not going to have income coming into the state. Tax revenues will fall off the cliff. But happily, that has not been the case, right? At least we are not in a position where we have an enormous shortfall when it comes to revenue for the state of North Carolina.
You're exactly right. So in terms of where we are, just last week, economists at the North Carolina Office of State Budget and Management and at the General Assembly Fiscal Research Division, they updated their sort of assessment of where we are with the state's revenues over this year and the coming several years. So using their best available data and the models that they use, they've predicted that the state will have an additional $5.6 billion more in revenue this fiscal year compared to the last being fiscal year 2019-2020, which we sort of operated on in the early months of the pandemic. And so this would leave our state with about $29.5 billion in revenue for this fiscal year.
General, what we call general fund revenue, right?
Exactly. And we like to describe it as the state's main bank account, if you will.
Right. And the reason for that is that, put it maybe in my layperson's terms, for one thing, we got a lot of money came in from the feds, right? The feds have pumped more money into the economy to keep things going. Some of it came directly to us. And then there's this whole phenomenon that there were a lot of people, particularly well-off people during the pandemic, and a lot of corporations did great. Their revenues and their incomes and their stock prices all kind of soared. And so as a result, there's been more income than maybe had been projected coming in from some folks, even as a huge swath of the population has really been struggling. Is that a sort of a thumbnail fair assessment?
I think that's exactly right. I think as the monies that Congress approved in March with via the American Rescue Plan Act, as those dollars continue to make their impact over the next several years, actually, I think we'll continue to gain a better understanding of just how those dollars have really improved states' economic outlooks. But I think it's safe to say that they've definitely had an impact. I think it's just a matter of sort of to what degree. But you're exactly right in terms of the unequal recession and the unequal recovery that we're already seeing ourselves in. For many people, you know, the pandemic was more of an inconvenience, I would say. Right. I think it meant that, you know, a lot of folks were working from home. They weren't going out and spending as much money, maybe weren't going out to eat as much. And so online sales increased. And so revenues from online sales increased. And like you mentioned, corporations, a lot of corporations saw, particularly those with online markets, they saw a tremendous increase in their profits. And those dollars, again, went back to shareholders, which tend to be wealthier, higher income folks.
This is all happening in North Carolina at an interesting time, because for the last decade in our state, we have sort of been on a downward trajectory when it comes to how much we invest in core public services and structures. We are spending a lot less than we have historically when you look at it as a share of our total state income and how much we spend on schools and the environment and transportation, all the sort of basic core services that knit together sort of our society and keep us going. This big influx of money comes at a time when we have really fallen off the table in terms of what we're investing. So it could be a way to sort of begin to repair some of the that damage, to patch sort of the threadbare services and structures that are sort of hanging on by a thread. So there is an opportunity actually in this moment where we could really maybe make some fixes to what's happened the last decade.
Like you mentioned, we're spending well below our state's historic average when you look at state personal income. So our 45-year average is 5.8%, and we're spending more than $7 billion under where we should be. When you turn that 5.8% into a dollar amount, we're more than $7 billion below where we have been in the last 45 years.
That means services like education, which takes at the lion's share of the North Carolina General Fund budget, we've obviously spent a lot less on it. That might explain why teacher salaries have remained low, why our schools in many instances are in sad shape. We spend the least amount of any state in the union when in terms of our ability to spend on things like public schools, and in terms of our effort. When you compare what we have in the way of potential revenues and what we actually spend, we're near the bottom in the country.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as much of an expert in public school funding. I focus a lot on sort of like the top level budgets and where that puts us compared to our prior budgets. And it really is astounding. I think, you know, early on in the early months of the pandemic, we really saw our state infrastructure struggling to keep up with the need to really quickly respond, have enough trained staff and new technology to be able to meet the demand in unemployment, for example. I think public health was extremely strained in their ability to quickly mobilize, to be able to test, and then, you know, many months later to eventually administer vaccines. So we've seen over the past, like you mentioned, decade now, really since the Great Recession, we never really saw our austerity budgeting tactic, you know, laid to rest. And so we're still very much operating under this starvation budget mentality, where it really does all of us a disservice when, you know, our schools can't meet the needs of their students. And in addition to the growing population and the dire needs that the pandemic has presented for many families and communities.
It's perhaps worth pointing out that the ostensible reason for this is that the Republican leadership of the North Carolina General Assembly believes that by aggressively lowering taxes, they will make North Carolina its economy healthier, that it will draw more businesses. They'll want to be here because we'll be a low tax state. But of course, the fact of the matter is that our state was already near the top in Site Selection magazine and other rating systems that look at a state's attractiveness to business. We were already near the top before all this tax cuts and austerity budgeting started, right? I mean, it seems like they've essentially just piled on to a situation that was already doing just fine, and indeed are now hindering services that themselves might attract businesses and people wanting to move to North Carolina.
And like you've alluded to, you know, again, these tax cut proposals have found their way into the Senate budget proposal, which was released just yesterday, late yesterday. We're seeing a lot of the provisions that were in a separate bill, House Bill 334, have now been, for the most part, incorporated into the Senate budget proposal, with the exception of personal income tax changes, which are actually worse now than they were in the bill. So they're proposing going all the way down to 3.99%. And so, yeah, it's absolutely going to hamper the future of our state. I think it's not too dramatic to say that. We're stealing from our own futures.
So we're talking with Susie Khachaturian, who's a policy analyst with the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center. Let's focus on that. The Senate and the House have been engaged in negotiations over the budget. The governor, not really a part of it. Democrats, not really a part of it. And they seem to be sticking with this tactic that they've used for years now of just sort of setting a number, a cap that they say is a function of factors like inflation and population growth, and just saying, that's it. We're not going to spend any more than that, regardless of what the needs are, regardless of what's happening in our schools. That's the cap. Anything else, we're just going to give tax cuts. And as it's turned out, those tax cuts have been directed at folks at the top. Is that pretty much what we're seeing in this new version of the Senate budget that was released just this week?
Absolutely. So the Senate budget outlines how they propose to use the dollars to which they've committed to, like you mentioned, with their colleagues in House leadership. So they propose spending $25.7 billion in what we say is the first year of the budget. So that would be 2021-2022, and then increasing slightly to $26.6 billion in the second year of the budget. And so again, this is committing us to well below historic spending. And that, again, leaves us $7 billion away from where we have been.
And the process for debating this, which we probably should mention before we wrap it up here, it doesn't look like there's going to be any much of an opportunity to have any kind of real public serious give and take on this, or even an opportunity for consideration of amendments that would make any kind of real change. Not only have they specified what they think the budget should be, it looks like the rules they've set up almost guarantee that that's the only budget that can pass.
Right. You're exactly right. I mean, the budget was introduced on Monday night, and I think everything that we know is pointing to passage in the entire Senate by Friday. So that doesn't create a lot of opportunity for dialogue across the aisle. It doesn't create any opportunity. To some degree, it remains to be seen, but based on recent history, it doesn't leave opportunity to get input from the public to really make sure that those dollars are going where they're needed most and not to districts where the policymakers who are making those decisions are representing. So yeah, we have a lot of concerns about that. And like you mentioned a moment ago, with the arbitrary setting of spending caps, that's really not part of the State Budget Act. It really is more of a tradition that current leaders in our General Assembly have operated under. And I think it really leaves us worse off. It leaves us farther away from the goals that we should be having.
We're coming to the end of our time. The last question, Susie, I want to ask you, I know you're a budget analyst and a policy analyst, not a political prognosticator, but it seems safe to assume that this is not a budget that's going to meet with great favor with Governor Roy Cooper, who has in the past vetoed efforts that the Republican lawmakers have sent him. And we've found ourselves in this situation because there has not been a willingness on the part of the legislative leadership to negotiate with the governor, of us literally just sort of living off minor adjustments to the same old out-of-date budget from years gone by. Is that going to happen again in 2021? Is that a possibility?
I don't have a crystal ball to predict the future, but I think we may find ourselves in that situation again, where there's a budget that falls short in the same way that the 2019 budget proposal during the 2019 budget fight fell short. Who knows? I guess we'll see in the coming weeks and months.
Susie Khachaturian is a policy analyst with the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center, which is a project of the North Carolina Justice Center. If you want to find her incredible and high quality analysis of state budget matters, really putting it in terms that average people can understand, go to ncjustice.org. Just click on budget and tax, or go to ncjustice.org, projects, budget and tax center. She's done some really important work. We'll hope soon state lawmakers start paying closer attention to the analysis that Susie's doing for them. Susie, thanks so much for being with us. And we'll check in, I guess, later this summer to see how the final negotiations go.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
Coming up next, the climate emergency grows more dire by the day, but you couldn't tell that from a new energy proposal drafted by North Carolina utility lobbyists. Stay with us.